This is Adam Seward, and you are listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio. This is our second show, and we're stoked to be back. For those of you who might have missed our show last week, we got into the journey that brought us to this point, how we got to the radio. We talked about the fire. We talked about the book and the dream. And we talked a little bit about what it means to live an awakened life. But if you missed that by some chance, you know, you can always come online and get that on the archive. And that you can do that through the KKNW website or the Transformation Talk Radio website. It's archived in both of those places. And you can also find it on my website, www.adamsewardcounseling.net/awakenedlife radio. So, but I'm also joined here again by Eric. Eric, hello. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Adam. I'm doing quite well.
It's nice to be back with you. We had fun last week, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, we're ready to do it again. Thanks for your work over there. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Yeah. Today, I also want to give people the info on how they can call in. Eric, would you mind doing that, Eric? Would you give that number to anybody who wants to interact with us today?
Sure, I'm happy to do that. If folks want to call in today, they can at 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free when you're in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks. Yeah, we do. We want to interact with you. I mean, you can not only can you listen online, you can also watch online, and that's part of why we're here. We'd like to talk to you. So if you have a question or if you have something that you'd like to share in with the show, please give us a call at some time today, within the hour. So today, just to kind of give you a preview of what we're going to be talking about, is just like I told you last week. This week really is about going into much more depth into the essence of what it means to live an awakened life. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. There's actually four pillars that embody this awakened awareness. They're just aspects of how you see this awareness showing up in people's lives. It's also an experience that you have. And so we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to define what awakening is, and because I think that for some people they're a little curious about, okay, you use this word awakening, your show title is called Awakened Life. Well, what do you mean by awakening? I mean, what is that really? Also, there's a special guest in the studio. Well, he's probably going to be with me, so I don't know if I can call him a special guest anymore, but because he's going to be here pretty consistently. But he'll be joining us at the end of the show. Where we'll be talking about the fourth pillar, which is certainly one of my favorites and something that he has actually devoted his life for the next month to practicing on a consistent basis and sharing with us the insights that he gains through practicing this fourth principle. So we're actually going to get an in-person live account of what it's like to practice this pillar or this principle, and how it's been impacting his life. And I had a chance to talk with him before the show today, and he was so clear on some of the different ways that this practice and this pillar, which I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but the way that it has really transformed his experience into what he also calls an awakened experience of life. So what is awakening? Well, this isn't new. Talking about awakening isn't necessarily new. For a long time, people have been using the word enlightenment. So you talk about the Buddha, or you talk about Christ, you talk about Lao Tzu or some of these masters of the ages, and you use the word enlightenment. Well, there's a new word that's really taken its place, and that word is awakening. Now, why is awakening taking that place? Well, in my view, awakening is it's different than enlightenment in the sense that it's something that's open to a much larger number of people. And, you know, part of that is due to planetary evolution. Our planet is growing, and you can see that through technology and all of the different ways that the world is changing. There's a shift in consciousness that's happening, and it's happening on a large scale. So it's no longer like, enlightenment is when you cross this finish line at the, you know, and you never look back from it and you're just fully enlightened forever, you know, like some of these sages that we're familiar with. Really, it's more about something that you go into in what sometimes is called a state experience. So it's a temporary period of time where you experience a heightened state of consciousness, a state experience. Abraham Maslow actually called it a peak experience. He was a counselor, a psychologist, very famous, who wrote a book called Toward a Psychology of Being. And he actually studied these people that he called self-actualizers. So these are people who, in his view, reached sort of the a higher level of human potential. And he studied these people, and he came up with a number of characteristics, some of which have really influenced the four pillars that I'm going to talk to you about today, in the way that I'm defining awakening. But he actually defined self-actualization as the frequency of peak experiences that a person has. So he would look at how often are you going into this state, this state of heightened creativity, openness, bliss, love. Some people describe it as like heaven on earth. How often do you go into that state? It's also a state of oneness and connectedness. That's what people describe, or that's the report that they give. How often do you go into that state, and how long do you stay there? So he looked at that, and for him, that was, he called those peak experiences, and then he actually called them plateau experiences. And so that's, for me, at least in my education as a counselor, that was when I first started to hear about this idea of and then it was called self-actualization. Now it's called awakening. So that's a little bit of a background on what awakening is. That's how we're defining it. Actually, one more thing. The Buddha, this is another story that relates. Someone went up to the Buddha and they said, there's a story apparently, and said, why are you different? What makes you special? What is it about you? Why do they call you Buddha? And his simple, you know, two-word answer was, I'm awake. I'm awake. So, yes, in a sense, it's something that we've seen represented and embodied by different sages over the ages, but I did not mean to rhyme that. But it that's fine. It's okay. Sages over the ages. It's also something that's arising, that's happening within people today in the world today. So an awakened life is really, okay, well, yeah, I've had a taste of this. How do I live it? What does it look like in my everyday life? Because I even think there's some people that have had a taste of this, but they don't know what they don't know what it means to live it. They've experienced it. They've enjoyed it. They've had that momentary glimpse or that peak experience, but it hasn't integrated. So I'm just going to come out with the first pillar. I think it's time. And it's interesting because I've been thinking about this quite a bit lately, and I've been exploring, okay, what really is the embodiment of this energy? You know, you have this experience. How is it embodied? How is it expressed? And I had a different one to start with today. Coming into today, I was literally defining awakening differently. Today, the first one that came to me, and the one that I just felt like I had to include and that I had to share and that I really do believe is one of the four pillars, is kindness. Now, kindness is a word that is familiar to any Buddhist. I mean, loving kindness, metta, these are all, this isn't unfamiliar. But I want to clarify it because I think there's an energy in this word kindness that is so awakened and so enlightened. And one thing that came up for me today that as I was actually sitting there in meditation, just sort of preparing for the show and thinking about not really thinking about much. That's kind of the point. I was just sitting there and, opening up like I do every day. To spirit or to awareness. And I felt this energy of kindness. And in the moment, I was the only one there. And so it was really more like I felt it towards myself. But I noticed that kindness is not, it's not being nice. It's something else. It's beyond just being nice. There's a wisdom in kindness that doesn't exist necessarily in being nice. And kindness is an attitude that's really independent of how another person is going to receive it. So you can embody kindness and be kind to someone, even if they don't reflect that back to you or receive it in the way that you had hoped they would. It embodies almost like a selfless kind of giving, you could say, that that is really beyond just being nice. loving kindness is a term that many people have probably practiced at some point. I actually was having a conversation with someone this weekend who was at a retreat recently, where she literally spent much of the day offering to herself this depth of loving kindness, this energy of metta, it's sometimes called. And you could tell that it had had a very cleansing, purifying effect on her. I mean, she was just so so deeply in touch with that energy and expressing that energy. So the other thing that I'd say about kindness is that this is the nature of the heart in action. So the heart, if you feel into it and you really experience it as it is, not a concept of it or an idea of it, but if you just contact it directly, there's this experience of kindness. That's what's there, and it doesn't matter who it is. It's there within everybody. There's this, maybe there's some shells covering it up or some hardness that's happened over the course of their life, but underneath it there is this kindness that, and it exists within all of us. So the first pillar, the first principle of an awakened life that I'm thinking of is kindness. The second pillar, and now, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, the fourth pillar is coming up, and I'm really excited because I want to talk. I've got my guest here. Well, I just have to introduce. Dad, will you say something? Will you please join the conversation?
Adam, here? I'd love to say something, and it's great to be here. Thanks for including me today. And this whole idea of kindness is something that is it's hard to put it into words. It's a practice. It's an mm-hmm. attitude. And so, I am really happy that we're able to get into depth in these different pillars, and all the different. I mean, today we can just kind of brush across these. It's hard to really go into depth on these. Mm-hmm. But this is fun. This is really what it's all about.
Yeah. So like I said, he has been literally practicing the fourth principle in his life, devoting his life to it, committed to it. One of the most powerful principles. And so we're going to hear a lot from you later on today.
Yes.
Regarding that fourth principle.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah. Great to have you here. So the second principle, the second pillar is presence. Now, hang on. I got to get my book out of my bag. Just a second.
Okay.
I have a quote from Eckhart Tolle, who some of you may be familiar with. He is the author of a book called The Power of Now, and as well as a book called A New Earth, who many people may be familiar with. Actually, I've been leading an Eckhart Tolle study group in this area called Embracing Silence for some time over the last few years. We actually started when Oprah did her 10-week webcast with Eckhart Tolle, and I was a caller on one of the shows asking about the experience of presence in a group setting. And so that actually began this journey of joining with others and going into this state of consciousness
together. Well, that was the first webinar for Oprah, and your mother and I, we were part of that class. We took that class.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a worldwide event. Nothing like it had ever happened up to that point. I mean, there were something like 3 million people that were turning in, and there were so many people, they actually crashed the server. And so...
yeah, we were lucky to log in early, because you had to log in within the first couple of minutes or you didn't get on.
Yeah, it was really... it's also very interesting, because I think it says a lot about this awakening that's happening on the planet. You know, here's this guy talking about, this word awakening, which to me is really representative of a major shift in consciousness that we're on the brink of and in the midst of in many ways. And 3, 4, 5 million people, I mean, all over the world just wanting to hear him team up with Oprah and what that sounds like.
It was really incredible.
Yeah. So I have his book here. He, The Power of Now is really the book for so many people that was the introduction or the beginning of this experience of presence, the experience of awakening. Certainly, Dad, you and I had some experiences with it.
Yeah.
When I started reading, I said, Dad, you got to check this out. this thing works.
I checked it out. It was unbelievable. It was really a journey.
I remember you actually telling me about an experience. You were sitting out on the deck or something at home, when you had your first glimpse of the state of presence.
Yeah, it was this meditative awareness or this zone that I found myself in, where I just felt as if everything just looked so beautiful. There was this beauty about it.
As things do when seen in the beauty in the present moment without time, very often. So here's the quote. It says, "Everything seems to be subject to time, yet it all happens in the now. That is the paradox. Wherever you look, there's plenty of circumstantial evidence for the reality of time. A rotting apple, your face in the bathroom mirror compared to your face in a photo taken 30 years ago. Yet you never find any direct evidence. You never experience time itself. You only ever experience the present moment, or rather what happens in it. If you go by direct evidence only, there's no time, and the now is all there ever is." So this awareness, and interestingly, you know, Maslow, this was something that he found in the people that he studied that he believed were self-actualized. This experience of be here now, some of you may be also familiar with Ram Dass, who wrote a book called Be Here Now. In Zen, this is also one of the primary tenets or one of the primary principles is that this is reality. And it's not even what I just said about it, because you can't say anything about it. It really is the present moment, the here and now. And part of a question one could ask themselves in terms of, you know, what am I embodying this principle? Is just even now, right there where you're sitting, wherever you are, whether you're in your office or your car or at home, how fully present, how fully embodied in the here and now am I? And you can check in with yourself. There's actually one test that you can use, and that's the awareness of the inner body. That's the subtle vibration just beneath the skin that you can tune into. Sometimes one exercise that Tolle often recommends is, he says, close your eyes and ask yourself, without looking at my hands, how do I know that I have hands? You can do that now too, if you'd like. If you're driving, I would highly suggest that you save this exercise for later. But if you're in a place you can, just, you know, close your eyes, say, how do I know I have hands without looking? And what you do is you'll feel into this, again, subtle vibration. It's just it's a faint, almost tingling sensation that exists just underneath the surface of the skin. And that's your inner body. And part of being present is that you are aware, you're tuned in to this sensation. Dad, did you do the exercise?
I did. I can feel it.
Yes. Okay. So you're present.
I am present.
How's it feel?
Bliss.
It's true. This is also what A Course in Miracles calls the holy instant. The Course in Miracles talks a lot about the illusion of time. If you're not familiar with A Course in Miracles, it's a book that's had a large impact on me. I found it in kind of an interesting way. Not long after I started this journey, I actually asked someone. Someone said, they handed it to me, and they go, here, you'll know when to read this. And about 6 months later, it was sitting up on my shelf at home, and I thought, I think it's time to read that. And I actually sent an email to a close friend of mine, a mentor of mine, actually, Greg, who you'll be meeting on the show, not this week, but definitely soon.
That's going to be a great show.
Yeah, Greg is will be definitely a special guest.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
But he asked me not to build him up, so I'm not going to build him up anymore. But I do. He is my teacher, so I do love him. he actually, I sent him an email. I said, hey, Greg, have you ever heard of A Course in Miracles, and would you recommend it? And sometimes it would take him a little while to get back to me because he wasn't too email savvy at the time. But surprisingly, he got back the next day, and he just said, you know, A Course in Miracles is one of the foundational texts for my walk with Spirit, or my awakened journey. And so I started to read it, and anyway, it's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. Marianne Williamson is another very popular teacher who draws a lot from the Course. It's the holy instant. That's what it calls the now. Basically, is the one moment, the only moment, and that's this moment. And again, an aspect of living from awakened awareness or from consciousness is in the here and now. Because, you know, if you think about it, there really is no such thing as anything else. I mean, there's not even a breath that happens outside of the present moment. There's no breath that happens at any other point. So the breath you're having now, the breath you're breathing now, wherever you are, this is actually the one and only breath, which is another meditation. Actually, it's a guided meditation for helping to bring people here into the present. Is just to ask yourself, you know, or to pay attention to this breath as if it's your only breath and the only breath, which in fact it is. You know, it's funny too, because I mean, another way that I think about this aspect of presence is that it's if you look around you, there's a what I like to say, and there's actually a chapter about this in my book. But what I like to say is that that past and future are but vague reflections of the present moment. Past and future are but vague reflections of the present moment. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you look around you, I mean, if you just look around you now, look, you know, wherever you are, this isn't a vague reflection. Your computer, whether it's your computer screen, your steering wheel, your hands, your environment, this is not a vague reflection. But if you think like, okay, what was I doing an hour ago? And you can do that now too. I mean, I was at home actually just getting ready to come over here. But when I think about it, I mean, the best that I get is sort of a gray outline, not very many colors. It's not very detailed. I mean, I can see the room that I was in, and I can see everything. But it's a vague reflection at best, or it's a sort of a pale representation of that.
So when people worry, what's that?
Well, that's a great example of going into the future.
Okay,
it's funny because when we think about the future and when we imagine the future and we we get this sort of gray outline. Well, then ego has all this room to fill in the blanks with scary stuff. it tends to do that. But if you just look in front of you, if you look at the moment the way it is, again, it's not scary. You know, it's kind. It's we'll talk more about it. It's honest. There's a real purity to it. So. This is, you know, these are exercises that you can do at any time. I mean, you know, anytime you feel yourself getting caught up in your mind or caught up in time, you can stop, take a breath, acknowledge it as the only breath, tune in to what the inner body, and these are all, I mean, you could do any one of these, but these are just a series of different tools that work to create this experience. Or you could... you could listen to the sounds of the present moment, because there's no such thing as a past sound. You could feel the experience of the present moment. There's no such thing as a past experience. That's why the inner body meditation is so powerful, because the only place that you can actually experience the inner body is here in the present.
How about nothing? When you're trying to listen to the sounds and there's nothing to listen to. That's a good thing, right?
Well, Tolle would call that listening to the silence. That's right. That's right. And that's the only place you can listen is in the present moment. This is the only place that you can hear or listen. So hear or listen or...
embracing silence, that's what it's all about.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Because when you're silent... when the mind isn't distracting you or taking you out of the moment,
yeah.
then you're here, you know, and it's really, I don't know, you know, I almost want to say that each one of these pillars, principles, is the most important one.
Yeah.
Presence is the most important one. But we might be back with one that's even more important when we get back from break. So we're exploring the pillars of the awakened life. We're looking at kindness. We're looking at presence, and we're talking about a direct experience, and that's happening right here and now, right in the present. So when we get back. Two more principles, two more pillars you don't want to miss. See you in a few minutes.
Well, it ain't easy being you, bearing your unique load, but this is it. Have you chosen? Nobody else can walk down that road. You take a hit, stop to give to the negative. There's something I think you should know.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Call the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive. Instead of merely survive, listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
You listen to us, now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
Hello, I'm Lauren Archer. I'm a hypnotherapist who helps people change their energy by changing their mind.
And I'm Lorelei Spiegelman. I'm an energy healer that helps people change their minds by changing their energy. Together, we are the Soul Sirens of Seattle, sending out the call for you to remember and awaken the wisdom of your soul.
Tune in on Monday afternoons at 4 o'clock. Here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Awakened Life. This is Adam Seward. You're listening here on KKNW 1150 AM and Transformation Talk Radio. So we're talking about what it means to live an awakened life. And we've explored two pillars, kindness and presence. We've gone into some detail about what these two principles are, what these two pillars are. But the third one is actually one I want to take some time with because this one embodies so much, I believe, of what it means to live an awakened life. And this principle today is what I'm calling openness. So openness, what does that mean? Well, ultimately, you know, last week we talked about, okay, what's the real sort of cut to the point version of the awakened life? What's that mean? And I said, well, it's to live with an open heart in the awareness of who you really are. Well, that's where openness comes in. I mean, it's living with an open heart, really sharing yourself with the world, and being open to the world and what the world is, how the world is showing up for you. So
Does that relate to the topic of vulnerability at all?
It does, actually. Yeah, that's vulnerability. We did a show actually a little while ago. We were a guest on another show where we talked about the power of vulnerability and how really being vulnerable has the power to reveal some of our greatest strengths. We talked about how the most beautiful part of a flower is actually the most vulnerable part of a flower. That we talked about. That usually it's when we're the most open, the most exposed, the most sort of naked. I mean, to use a better term, undefended. That's when we're showing up really the most fully and with the most consciousness. Because defending, going into a defensive state, really shuts us down more than it opens us, and it closes the energy from flowing. Rather, where openness is another one of these practices, one of these pillars that keep us in this state of receptivity to life, receptivity to our circumstances and to the present moment, however it might show up. So, openness also it relates to this ability to live with your guard down. You may have had this experience. I mean, this is the one that comes up for me when talking about relationships, because it relates to honesty. It relates to maintaining open line of communication with whoever it is that you're in relationship to, rather than closing off or getting stuck in our assumptions or our stories about what another person's intention is. For example, so is this making sense for you, Dan?
Well, the question I have is someone who is having trouble loving themselves, let's say, do they tend to be less open? Do they have trouble practicing openness? Or is that something that...
So you might remember from the last show that we defined vulnerability as the willingness to let another person see you as you really are. Remember?
Okay. Yes.
We talked about Avatar and that part at the end, you know, where she says, I see you, or he says, I see you. When we don't love ourselves, an aspect of that is that we believe that if another person sees us, like beyond our guard or beyond the image. Sometimes our guard is the image that we're presenting, that we're hoping other people will see, that we think that they'll accept. When we show up without that, and allow people to see as we really are, see us as we really are, there's the fear that, especially for the person who doesn't love themselves, there's the fear that they're not going to be accepted, that they're not going to be validated, that they're not. And we all have some degree of this. I mean, it's just an aspect of the human condition in today's world.
Yeah.
Right. Because we really do. We live in a world that really is in terms of the mainstream media, is continually saying you should be more. You should have these nice fake eyelashes.
I should have more hair.
It's a, it's a relentless assault of you are not enough, right?
Yeah.
So even, I mean, when we're born, when we're kids, we know we're all that. You know these kids. You see these kids. You know, they know that they love themselves. I mean, how could they do anything else? They're just like laughing. They're happy. You know,
I was thinking back to kindergarten and what it was like at the end of the school year when school was over and you got to go out and play. Your daily activity was going out to play. Now,
I was laughing about this too, because that's what you would do. You would call people and you didn't, now as an adult, you say, hello, how are you? But, as a kid, you call and you say, hey, can you play?
Yeah. And you'd play all day.
Yes.
All day.
And openness and playfulness are so closely related.
Yes.
They are. I mean, we could swap the two and say, really the third principle of living an awakened life is living a life that's playful.
Yeah.
Because that's just one of my absolute You know, and it's something that I think is lost a lot of the time within spirituality, don't you think?
Yeah, it really is. I have to share this. I have some friends, some adult friends that are in this playful thing. It's called retirement.
Well, it's the natural cycle of life, right? I mean, you know, start out in diapers, you end in diapers.
They just got somebody. They convinced somebody to pay them for doing nothing. That's the only difference.
Well, you know, that is kind of the role of the emerging spiritual teacher as well.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. gosh.
Oh, so anyway, this playful, this openness and playfulness.
Yeah. So, okay, a few more things that relate to openness and playfulness are letting go,
okay,
faith, trust, and then this other word I really like, transparency.
Oh, what's that?
Transparency. Well, that's where you, again, very similar to vulnerability. What you see is kind of what you get. So you're not projecting an image of how I want you to see me. You're just showing up exactly as you are, sort of like a clear window.
Mm.
And what's interesting is a lot of people who sit with, it's interesting because I was going to say people who sit with an awakened teacher will also often say that they're like a clear mirror because they're just basically reflecting. They're so clear. Mm. It's so clean that really what they do is they just reflect you back to you.
Okay.
Right. But it's interesting because I don't want to say a teacher, because what I've noticed is that with the emergence of this awakened consciousness, it's sometimes just your friend, you know, that shows up as a nice clear mirror for you. So, but that's what transparency means. I mean, there's no guard getting in the way. I mean, you know, so often people will do things that, that hurt us or hurt someone, and we want to say, you're a bad person, shouldn't do that. When in reality, that it's a confused person, it's someone who doesn't have enough information.
Okay.
It's someone who has such a guard up and is so much pain that it's really muffling the expression of who they are.
So someone out there that let's say that something bad has happened, and sometimes it can be very bad. Mm-hmm. There's people out there that just do bad things to us.
Yeah.
So what's the response? How do we deal with that?
Right, right. Well, you know, maybe you've heard this saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Mm-hmm.
There's this aspect of understanding and compassion where you look at an action and you don't judge the person for the action. You get to a place of course.
Okay.
It's a place where you see, oh, well, that action wasn't really who they are. That action was just the product of everything that had happened to them up to that point in their life.
Yeah, think how troubled, sick, how difficult life is for this person.
Yeah. And this, you know, again, this is also a concept that relates to forgiveness. It is a concept that relates to seeing through the cover or the exterior in order to really, really be with and experience the interior of a person.
Okay.
What's sometimes called their basic goodness.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Some people believe that Hitler was everything Jesus was everything Hitler could have been.
Mm.
And for some people, that's a radical view.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to call it. I like that.
Radical. Wait a minute. Aren't we going to talk about some radical things next week? No, this is too soon.
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, this is the thing, is that part of this openness thing some terms that I have put radical after, because I do believe that, I mean, in a sense, it's radical forgiveness to talk about forgiveness for someone like that.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's radical honesty to tell someone what the thing that you're most scared to tell them because of what they might think of you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it feels, you know, pretty radical, to put, you know, to put your life entirely, you know, in the hands of a cosmic force to give up being the authority on how everything should go all the time.
I think this is pretty radical, me being here at the microphone.
So, yeah. So I just, you know, I want to acknowledge that you know, for some folks, this is radical.
Sure.
And if it's too radical, you know, what's the expression? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
It is radical. It is. So, there's, in a sense, I mean, we could throw radical before any of these four principles.
But it's so simple and basic as well. I mean, it has such
It's radically simple and basic. It's radically. It's so simple that we miss it, you know?
Yeah.
So openness. Is that resonating for you, Dad? I mean, does that make sense?
How is acceptance and surrender fall into these different categories?
Well, that's actually really a good question. So part of being open or practicing openness means that as life arises, as it happens, you don't resist it.
Okay.
Right? Byron Katie says that when you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. So life is as it is, whether you like it or not, or oppose it or not. And, you know, Tolle talks about, you know, what is your relationship to the present moment? Is it a yes or a no? You know, and that could be any moment. It's this moment. I mean, out there listening out there, I mean, just ask yourself, what is your relationship to the present moment? Is it a yes or a no? Interestingly, if it's a no, and you're experiencing, well, closedness and it doesn't feel good, you know, because the stream, the flow of life energy in the present moment is pretty intense. So it's a lot to, the entire universe. In other words, the entire universe is a lot to oppose. And so if you're opposing the present moment, you're kind of outmatched. The experience of moving from a no to a yes is something that any of us can practice at any point. I mean, you can literally choose to say, well, okay, all right, in a sense, yeah, I am in a state of no to the present moment or a state of resistance. I can move to yes. I can move from no to yes. And that is what acceptance means, to answer your question.
Yeah.
And it's relates to surrender, because when you give up your expectations of how things should be, so much of your energy becomes freed up just to ride the wave of the moment. And this is something that I'm sure we'll talk about in more detail later, but the potential and the energy of the present moment is infinite. There's no bottom to it. Or as they say sometimes in some ancient scriptures, it's turtles all the way down. It's a great question. Yeah, acceptance and surrender are huge pieces of what it means to be open, which, you know, as I keep reiterating, I think is a very important and prominent piece of what it means to live an awakened life.
And it probably has a lot to do with our final topic that we're going to talk about in the next segment.
It absolutely does. Yeah. It absolutely does. Which is your topic.
That's my topic.
You know, actually, let's just go right now, Dad. I mean, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, so the fourth principle, and this all relates to your segment.
Yes.
Is gratitude, thankfulness.
Yes.
Now, as an experiment, we've talked, you and I, and we've decided that you are going to practice gratitude on a daily basis.
Yes.
For the next month. Yeah. It's really making it a month, August, a month of gratitude.
Yes.
And so that we can kind of tune into your experience of that, what that is for you. So, we've got a few minutes. We got a couple minutes before we go to break. Why don't you? What? How's it been?
Okay. It's been wonderful, but I've had a lot of help. I've had a lot of help here in the Pacific Northwest with this gorgeous weather we've had for the last. How long has it been? a couple days.
What's that?
the whole week of August. It's been gorgeous, by the way.
Right.
But anyway.
It makes it easier, yeah.
But here we are in the Northwest, and I had the privilege of attending a wedding, and it was at a place. It's probably one of the most beautiful places in the Northwest. It's called Restoration Point. It's on the south end of Bainbridge Island.
Mm.
A lot of people don't know there's actually a private 9-hole golf course on the south end of Bainbridge Island. And so I was able to take in the beauty of nature, and it actually became meditative.
Mm-hmm.
It was a meditative experience.
Mm-hmm.
The water was so calm. We could see downtown Seattle. We could see Mount Rainier.
And how grateful were you in that moment?
I was infinitely grateful.
So see if you can kind of, literally, I mean, seriously, see if you can tap into that same experience right now. See if you can't see, I mean, just right here, okay. just see if you can tune into that energy of gratitude, which is one of the most powerful energetic experiences you can have. Tell me about what your experience is here with that. I mean, it can relate to this experience,
sure,
of the earth and the beauty, but
I, with every breath, I like to say a mantra like, thank you, God. Mm-hmm. A mantra of gratitude, and that's how I really experience it. I mean, combined with the experience of nature,
mm-hmm.
And then combined with this state of gratitude, this place. It's a place you can go. It's an appreciation. Yes, and I do have a quote from Adam's book that I want to share. It's a great quote. I just love it, but it summarizes, I think, in the best way what this experience.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you share it when we get back from break?
Okay, I'm going to save it.
How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay. So, but I want to hear this because this is, I'm so interested in this practice of gratitude and this use of gratitude as a lived experience and a spiritual practice. So when we get back from break, you'll do it again. You're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
You listen to us, now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Hey, everybody, we're back. This is Adam Seward. You're listening to Awaken Life again here on KKNW 1150 AM and Transformation Talk Radio. And I'm here with my dad, Richard Seward, and we are talking about the four pillars of an awakened life. And we have just we've just got to gratitude, which you are using as your practice.
Yes, I am.
For the next month. And you had a quote that you wanted to read that you felt related to this experience, the true
yes.
direct experience of this state of gratitude.
Yes. This quote, I think it says it better than anything that I could put into my own words. And it says, thankfulness as a spiritual practice means not letting the ever so tempting apple of what you don't have lead you out of the all your needs met Garden of Eden. The nature of the universe is basic goodness. This basic goodness is your Garden of Eden before you start to label, judge, separate, or limit it.
Hmm. So is that where you were last weekend?
That's where I was.
Out in the sun?
I experienced heaven. I really did. And that was, that's called the joy and the bliss of the present moment.
Yeah.
You when you feel it, you want to go back. Mm-hmm. You don't want to leave it. You want to go back.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, there was a guy 2000 years ago who said, the kingdom of heaven is in our midst.
Yes.
And then he said, one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And part of the awakened experience, which we haven't, really talked about, is this experience of heaven on earth, isn't it?
It's there. It's there to be experienced.
Does that feel radical to say that?
It probably is radical.
Yeah.
That's a radical statement.
Yeah.
But it's true.
It really is the lived experience of heaven on earth, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so just to review, because we've covered the principles. The first, kindness. The second, presence. The third, openness. And then finally, gratitude and thankfulness. Four principles. They're not the only ones. There's so much that goes into this. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are having this experience and talking about it and writing about it and creating radio shows about it. Because it is something that when you tap in, it's hard not to share it. Next week, I want to encourage you all to tune in because we are going to be going even deeper and actually looking at a concept called radical acceptance. How big is your yes? That's the title of our show next week. So yeah, how big is your yes?
Oh, my yes. I thought you were talking to Eric. It's big.
Well,
I don't know if it's as big as yours was, but it's big.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that we're going to find out because we're going to.
Are we going to have a yes off?
Yes. It's really exploring, how we talk about going from a state of no into a state of yes. Well, how far into yes are you willing to go? That's the question. And I've actually got a really special guest. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm going to surprise you. But he will be joining us, and he knows a lot about saying yes. He is a pioneer in the field of awakening and yes. So, thank you all so much for joining us today. It's been a...
Yes, thank you, everyone.
It's been... we're grateful to you for sure, because this show doesn't happen without you.
Yes.
Again, we're looking forward to having you next week. And also, August 21st is the Experience Oneness Summer Series. It'll be our third event of the summer. It'll be Bellevue Unity Church at 5 to 6:30. So you're all invited. Hope to see you there.
You'll see me there.
So I thank you all so much. Thank you for tuning in. And you know what I mean by that. You're tuning into this wave of consciousness, and we're all in it together. So thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Adam.
And we'll talk to you next week, 3 o'clock on Monday. Bye.
Bye, everyone.